You had that analogy really locked and loaded. You were ready to go on that one.
Yeah, it just came. It just happened naturally.
Had the name ready.
That's
and
right. Yeah. Yeah. A couple names were real names. A couple weren't. You got to decide.
I like it.
Zach by Philip Lindsay sliding in. What's up, boys?
How we doing?
Doing great.
We're doing good, man. We were, you know, a little worried after Friday night's Nuggets loss, and we had a good, you know, sports talk therapy session here today that they're the two seed. We're feeling okay. And then we lost our minds when it came to the Avalanche.
How y'all feel about the Nuggets?
Great.
Okay.
Great.
Great. Yeah.
They got put in a good situation.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think that who they're going to play, you know, where they are, yeah, you want to be number one. All right, yeah, of course. But number two, well, who we possibly could play, I'm okay with it. And you got the Suns. I'm sorry, Zach.
No.
Sorry I had to cut you off.
No.
Suns in the Timberwolves playing against each other.
Let them
knock each other off.
Yeah.
And the Timberwolves have struggled mightily with Phoenix. So your biggest adversary that we have kind of agreed that could be Minnesota, their biggest bugaboo in the last few years that we just saw is Phoenix. So, man, this actually... Outside of just how frustrating the game was on Friday night, and everyone had a right to be frustrated or angry or upset, or however you want a fan being a fan. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it just from the utilitarian, what are the seeds? Who are we playing? How impactful is going from one to number two? Thank goodness Minnesota lost. That would have been a bad scenario if in the second round you're going on the road to Minnesota. So I believe that they were helped mightily. The fact that they're the two seed, I feel great. If they were
the three seed, it would have been a complete disaster, epic meltdown, terrible way for this thing to play out at the end of the season.
Yes.
Okay, that's exactly how I view it. Phil, same way there?
I view it like that, too, especially how they showed up and got smacked against the Spurs. Right? It was the Spurs, right?
On Friday night, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was ugly, but not nearly as ugly as the Colorado Avalanche. I feel like... 2022, Brandon Stokely. That's what I feel like.
Right.
And I am.
And how did that work out for us?
It worked out great.
Right. So that's what I'm hoping.
That's the hope. But it's not
happening this year, though.
As fans will remember, before they went on that cup run, they lost six of their last seven games, and they did not look good. The difference is, everything. everything.
And if you
are not concerned, you are either one of the wild, only good news all the time, or if you're watching, it's painful. It's painful in goal. It's painful defensively. It's dreadful on the penalty kill. Mm. I mean, I don't need the numbers. I'm watching the game. They look like the worst penalty kill team that I've seen this last 2 weeks. So
we're all worried. Like we feel the same way. I told Stoke, I'm like trying to convince myself that because of 22 and because McKinnon's still on the ice and Miko's still there and Kale's still there, and then maybe Val returns to who he was back then during those runs, like they can turn it on. But that's literally me attempting to talk it into myself.
Yeah, you're manufacturing it.
Yeah.
You're not reacting to what you're seeing.
Yes.
If you're reacting to what you're seeing and you're honest what your eyes are telling you, if you know what you're looking at, the Avs could be a first-round exit.
Something seems off.
Looks like.
You know, like behind the scenes, like something that, I don't know, you know, that they had the Val situation. He came back. They were playing great. The trade deadline, additions. It just seemed like this was a perfect match, and it was going so well, like 9 in a row.
I know.
We can't forget that.
I know.
And then all of a sudden, it looks like, I don't know what happened, right? Val's not playing the same, and it just seems like something is up with that group, and I don't know how all of a sudden you get it flipped around and turned around in the playoffs and get it going when you're playing a team that just beat you 7-0 in your place.
And it's not just those. It's not just the 7-0. They got beat by Winnipeg 6-2.
Mm.
They've been beat 4-2. Add up the score, unless I'm missing something because I did it on a walk. Okay,
I have it too, so hopefully we're the same.
Did you already say it on the air?
No.
Okay. I believe the combined score this year against Winnipeg is 17-4.
Yeah.
Yeah. 17
goals for Winnipeg, 4 goals for the high-powered Colorado Avalanche. I'm deeply concerned. I'm deeply concerned. And here's another thing, and you can save this audio. You will see Justus Annunen in goal in the first round.
Whoa.
You will see him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't see how you couldn't see him after what we've seen with Georgie, and because there is the leash is so short right now for him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Bednar's not going to say, "Hell, yeah, we'll give you another one." In that, like, if it's a bad quarter, bad two quarters. You know, it's a close game. Yep. Yeah, periods. Sorry, hockey fan. Hockey fan's going to get pissed at Stoke.
I'm trying to protect you.
I appreciate you. I appreciate the pain, right, right. You already knew.
After all these years,
you already knew what was going to happen.
I thought I was the only one.
That feels good. He held my hand a little bit also.
I got a bone to pick with Val, though. Man, it's funny. Oh, yeah, because it's just funny how when it's time, when big times come around, okay, Val wasn't there last year. Okay, during this time when we got hot, Val wasn't here. He was in rehab. Yeah. Now we're starting to get back to the nitty-gritty, and Val has not been here. He's been on the ice, but he's still been MIA. So something's up with that situation. It's kind of irritating on top of Georgiev.
I like it.
Yeah, well said.
Val has one goal in the last 10 games. You want to hear the penalty kill numbers? Because I went back, because I'm like, this is disturbing as I'm watching it. So what does it actually look like? Vegas had 3 power play opportunities, scored on 2 of them. Winnipeg had 3 power play opportunities, they scored on 2 of them. The Minnesota Wild had 5 power play opportunities, scored on 2 of them. Dallas had 3 power play opportunities, scored on all 3. That is in the last 14 games. 14 opportunities to kill a penalty in the last 4 games. They have given up 9 power play goals in 4 games.
That's crazy.
And so you could just, kind of like if you go into an NFL game, you know, like the most reduced to a simplest form, like who's got the better coach and who's got the better quarterback? Mm-hmm. And if you like pick games like that, more oftentimes than not, you'd get a lot of them right. If you just went into a hockey game and said, who's got better special teams and who's got better goaltending? And the Avs suck right now in both.
Yeah. It's, and the Matt Davis, you know, the DU goalie. Yeah. Everybody's expecting legend. Him to walk through that door.
He's a bad dude.
He is absolutely a legend.
Legend.
He shouldn't have to do anything for himself in this city again. But
he's still playing party.
He can't sign with the Avalanche and play in the postseason. He can sign and play like Thursday against Edmonton, but he's uneligible to play because he's undrafted.
Undrafted, right. And that's why Kale was able to transition quickly.
They have his rights.
Yeah, right.
And so, the thing with Val, though.
So he's undrafted right now, huh?
So you could sign him.
Drafted.
Yeah, he did not.
You
get
could
drafted.
Sign him, but he can't play.
But
the
I mean, like you were saying earlier, I mean, that was his best stretch, right. Was when it mattered the most, which is great.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like he played like that all season long.
Right.
So to think that he's going to come in and lead the Avs to the cup. This is the majors.
The pioneers.
Right? I mean, let's pump our brakes. But just for Val, like when he came back, he was actually really good.
Yeah, he scored like the first 3 games,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. He had 1 point, 3 points, 1 point, 0 points, 2 points, 1 point. So that was like a 6-game stretch right when he came back. And it's like, all right, here we go. Here is Val. And he was such an important part of the cup run. And he was so good. Besides Kadri, you know, he could have been the best player out on the ice there for him.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden here recently, now he did get a point last game. I got it. But it just hasn't looked the same.
No.
And they need him in a big way to play big if there's any chance for them to make any kind of
run. We all have this like, oh, the Nuggets are going to turn it on. I think collectively we all feel that way. And none of us feel that way about the Avalanche.
See, I felt like that at the beginning, though. Like, I even when the Avs were down and they would turn it on and end up winning the games, I felt like they had that factor to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, they're just like fish in the water, dead fish in the water right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're referencing those comeback wins, and we've talked about them even when they were happening. It's like, this is not necessarily healthy.
This is not good.
And then you start fast, like they did yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and give it all back.
Yep.
And I want to tell you, like Stokely just said a second ago, he said, this is the majors, talking about Matt Davis, mm-hmm. and obviously I totally understand where he's coming from. You look at that first goal that Vegas scored, the wraparound, that's a goal that you'd get like AHL. That's an AHL goal that is a not a good goal at that level. So it's like, yeah, it's the majors, and obviously you're right that they're going to come in here and play. But some of these goals they're giving up are for the minors.
Mm-hmm. Guess who has over on the Avs season total at 105.5?
Oh my gosh! What are they at 105?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Again, remember
you
Rockies,
again with
I
the
had
Rockies.
It with the Rockies, and now I got it with the Avs. Now I got it with the Avs. You already know what's going to happen against Edmonton. I can already tell you what's going to happen.
Stokes
they
fault.
Have no chance to win.
So are you going to hedge it?
I don't know yet.
Because then you're going to get yourself in really big trouble. Because if I know you, it's one of those season-long bets. It ain't like a Monday night or Tuesday night. It's a big boy bet. That's a big boy bet.
What would you do? Just real quick. What would you do? What do you do? Just let it ride, or do you try to hedge it and get some of your money back?
Let it ride.
You gotta let it ride.
Let it ride.
Got to. That's what I'm doing.
Always let it ride.
Let it ride. Yeah. Let it ride.
It's not his money.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go all in.
Just let us know how it goes. All right. So much to get into here on a Monday, and just how badly were the Nuggets' title chances impacted after what took place over the weekend? That's where we'll start. Coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Off and rolling on a Monday. And a beautiful day in the state of Colorado. How are you, Philip Lindsay?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling better. Okay, it's nice outside, spring. I mean, I can't complain. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Good to be back. Thanks to Matt for holding down the fort for me on Friday. Had my two-year-old, just me and her.
Uh-oh.
For an extended period of time, for the first time ever, as my wife and my son went to New York to meet a new family member. And, so it was just me and her, so I'm sure everything went fine, and do you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend, man. We took little man to the zoo. He had fun there, and then honestly just hung around Sunday. Sunday for me is try to be as lazy as I can.
Yes.
You know. What about for you?
Good, man. Good. It was great, dude. I watched so much sports this weekend.
It's wild.
And I did a ton with my daughter. I mean, dude, we were watching movies, building puzzles, going on walks. A playground every day, all the stuff that you would imagine, making pancakes for her, just what you would think you would do when it's just you and a two-year-old. But I was able to watch a ton of sports and look forward to reacting to everything that happened over a super busy weekend throughout the show today. But I'll tell you, man, like, talking about a bad tone setter for the weekend, what happened on Friday night? I mean, that was ugly against the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
Dude, it was like, you thought your work was done. You beat Minnesota. You secured the one seed. It'd be like passing the final exam, but you have to come into school the last 2 days, and you skip school, and now you fail the test, kind of thing.
Yeah, Zach. I mean, look, the Nuggets. It seems like when it's spring break, when it's summer break, they're cashed out. Right?
Yeah.
They're ready to just move on. Right. When it was spring break, when they were playing the Suns or the Kings.
Yes.
Right. They
before
had those
All-Star.
Back-to-backs.
Yes.
And it was just like, let's just get over with.
Yeah.
Right. Here's the kind of the same situation. It's like we're playing the Spurs. Everybody was pretty much hurt. Wimby did end up playing.
He didn't play before or after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
and,
know?
And they don't win without him.
Oh my gosh. So it was fun. It was fun for Wimby to do that. I think it just kind of ends his little season on a high note. For the Nuggets, it's like you guys fell asleep. Okay, you guys were not ready to finish off a game. You guys didn't care about this game, and you lost a game you should have won and got embarrassed.
Yeah, man, it was embarrassing. It was. It sucked because all the work that you just put in, and you see what the team looks like when they're fully energized and focused for a basketball game against Minnesota on Wednesday night. And then 48 hours later, it's like, man, I made the analogy of like you passed the final exam, but you got to come to school the last 2 days to pass the grade, and you didn't, despite passing the exam. But it's almost like you came to the first half of school and then left because, dude, they had like an 18-point lead at halftime. They were up by as many as 23 and lost to a team that you need to scroll to the bottom of the standings to even see their existence. The 22-60 Spurs beat you. And it sucks because you don't have the number one seed. End of the world? No, but obviously not ideal.
Well, it was a layup for them, right? It was all set up for the Denver Nuggets to have the number one seed. It was all there. But guess what? When you have things that are just all there, it's too good to be true. And that's what happened. They went into a game. They were sleepy. They were able to beat up on them for a little while, but they didn't sustain that. They lost, and now they're the number two seed, which, honestly, Zach, worked out for us. We got to break into it, right?
It's true.
Because you do so much and you do well for so long, you get a break, right? They didn't win the game. That wasn't their break. But then it's like, okay, we're going to throw you a bone by giving you guys a team that you guys should win and then putting the Timberwolves and the Suns against each other. So it plays out well for the Denver Nuggets.
And they got smacked. That was like a 19-20-point loss. What a huge, huge green light for the Denver Nuggets. Something that they were not in control of, And yeah, you're right. They put themselves in that position to catch the break in the first place. And that deserves to be pointed out. But you're on your couch and you catch a green light of all green lights that puts you in the second seed and not the third seed. So here we go, man. I mean, goodness gracious. Playoffs are starting in less than a week.
Here we go.
And in less than a week, the regular season officially in the rearview mirror. And Michael Malone was asked if he was satisfied with that regular season.
I think, obviously, not being satisfied with last year, you know, tying a franchise record. You know, it's so unfortunate that we didn't break the record when we had a chance to. But, you know, to tie the franchise record for wins in a season is outstanding, and especially on the heels of winning a championship. And, you know, that's been the mantra all year long, is not being satisfied, staying hungry, and pushing yourself individually and collectively to be the best team that we can be.
You know, you do have to give them credit despite what happened on Friday night. Championship teams traditionally, across sports, just in general, they can have hangover seasons.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, whether it's just a lack of focus, not being, you know, as tuned up the way you were the previous year.
The loss of people,
100%. I remember the first big fight that Shaq and Kobe got into was after they won their first championship. Shaq came back to camp totally out of shape and had said into a microphone, "I haven't touched a basketball since game 4 or 5 or whatever it was the previous year." Kobe never left the gym. And that was the initial fracture between them that just kept on building up. But for the Nuggets to turn around, and if you said before the season, Phil, before first game has started, the year after a championship, you just did it all, you're going to win 57 games, which ties the franchise record, and you're going to be the 2 seed. Would you take that right now?
Oh, without no doubt, I'm taking it. I'm taking it without asking any kind of questions.
Yeah, me too.
And you know what? It would have been great to... They tied the franchise record. Obviously, it wasn't in the cards for them, right? I'd rather win a championship than win.
Of course,
you know, in the regular season for something like this, it is what it is. But it's time to get going. I'm excited.
It's time to get going. You should be excited. I'm excited. I can't wait. Saturday night, I believe the game will be at 6 p.m. here locally. 6 p.m. here locally. That's where I believe this game is going to be slotted. And then they'll do Phoenix, Minnesota in the late window. We'll see. We'll pass that information along as soon as we get it. But here we go. You want to hear a crazy stat? And we're going to break down the potential opponents and pick scenarios that are more.
We got all day, baby.
We got all day. But you want to hear a crazy stat on the way out before we shift gears? The NBA, once upon a time, people would say, not too many years ago, well, the same teams win it all the time. Or, it's a league of super teams. That's not the way it is now. And it's changed over the last couple years. And this stat summarizes how crazy it is. Oklahoma City is the 7th number one seed in the Western Conference in the last 7 years. That means for 7 straight years, a different number one seed has represented the West.
I like it. That's cool, because now you don't know. You just don't know who's going to be in there. You don't know who's going to be good that year. It's exciting. It brings a lot of fans out because it's like, okay, we have a chance.
Yeah.
We have that chance. And this is not like, okay, it's the Lakers or, oh, it's the Warriors.
Again.
You know nobody can beat them.
No, and that's not the way it is. It's Oklahoma City this year. It was the Nuggets as the one seed last year. The Suns had the one seed the year before that. It was the Jazz the year before that. It was the Lakers the year before that. It was the Warriors the year before that. And it was the Rockets the year before that. 7 straight years, 7 different number one seeds. And you have new champions, by the way, for the last half decade in that league as well. So you don't know what you're going to get. Hopefully this is the first repeat instance in the NBA. As we shift gears here, off and rolling on a Monday, where is our level of confidence in the Avalanche heading into the playoffs after 2 ugly losses over the weekend? That's where we'll go coming up next. Where is our level of confidence in the Avalanche heading into the playoffs? Next weekend.
It's Monday, Zach. We've got to have a good day.
Holy smokes.
You're supposed to be having a good day.
Dude, we're going to have a good day. We're going to have a good day. We're too blessed to be stressed, my friend.
Oh, I like it.
And by the way, we're going to be hitting the streets and taking the show on the road. It's the Drive's Brouhaha. Our first stop is in Edgewater at Edgewater Beer Garden. We'll be there this Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. Head to denversports.com/drive for more details. I am not a freak out guy. I am not a freak out guy. Phil, I can, you know, sometimes maybe be a little bit dramatic.
Overreact a little bit.
Not really. I'm not. Okay. I don't come in here like, I mean, shoot, we've done the whole Nuggets and Avs season.
Yeah.
We did the Broncos season. And very rarely am I coming here like, the sky is falling. This is the end of the world.
Well, especially with the Nuggets, I think that both of us have came in with the Colorado Avalanche at times like, yo, what's going on? You know, I've been more worried about the Colorado Avalanche throughout the whole entire season than the Denver Nuggets, just because we know what we're going to get with the Denver Nuggets, and they've kind of shown it. They've shown it throughout the time with the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, Zach, they're great at home, but this year they were horrible, horrible, especially at the beginning on the road.
Well, outside of a small stretch, because remember they temporarily made that go away. And they actually, and not to get too far in the weeds, but in the very, very, very beginning of the year, they played well. And I mean, very beginning of the year. It was like the first four games. I think they started 4-0 on the road, and then it
just dipped.
It dipped until here very recently, where they sort of gave us a mirage of it's okay. But they are the definition of an average road team, and they've lost more times on the road than they have won. But, Phil, I don't care if you play a ball arena, Winnipeg, or in the middle of I-25. There are enough issues with this team where I'm going to try to control myself that, like, no, that's not the sky falling on my head. They still have three of the best 15 players in the world. Everything's going to be okay. But that's not the feeling I get when I actually watch the team, and that's problematic.
Well, see, that's why I asked you last week before you went on vacation was...
Look at you. Hey, I like it. I like it.
Well, I asked
takes
you
one
that.
Day off. To be with my daughter.
For a family reason. Come
like
on
it.
Now.
I like it. I like it.
Blood's thicker than water. I know. I got you.
I like it, though.
But that's why I asked you last week about how do you feel kind of compared to the year that they won the cup with the goalie situation. Okay, they did have, at that time, Gabe was still there. They had some dudes.
Kadri, yep.
You know, this year, and you were like, you know what? I really can't compare it. I can't compare it just because we don't have some of those guys and you don't know what's in store for this year, especially at the goalie position. But now looking at what we're dealing with, I'm a little bit more concerned because we added some good depth. It looked good at the beginning. But people like Casey Mittelstadt have been MIA, right? He's been really struggling. And it's weird because it's like when he first got here, it's like he was playing free. He was playing just hockey. And that's what it was. It was like, I'm playing free. But now that he's been here for a little while, he's starting to have to get the plays down. I think it's starting to hurt him more than help him because he's thinking so much.
Mm. Interesting. He has certainly slowed down. There's no doubt about it. Although he was impactful on the Mikko goal yesterday.
He was.
But on the whole, you're right. I am deeply concerned with the dynamics of this team, starting with the goaltending and the penalty kill.
Mm.
Those two factors are just so big. That's turnovers in football. That's offensive rebounds allowed in basketball. They're backbreaking. And if you don't have both of those two things buttoned up, you may be in trouble. But not only do they not have them buttoned up, the buttons have popped off of the pants and the buttons are on the ground.
Mm.
I mean, we are watching Georgiev melt down in real time.
Literally. He threw his puck one time.
Yes. Yes.
That was the start of it.
Yes.
That was the start of it right there, Zach. To me, when I look at Georgiev, he looks like a head case. He looks like a guy that is not ready for a big moment. He's not ready for that moment.
Yeah.
And some people are just like that, especially if you're going to be at the goalie position, you got to have cold blood. You got to be cold blooded.
Yes.
It's a saying that we used to say in football, one snap and clear. Doesn't matter how good you were that snap. Doesn't matter how bad it was. you still got 60 minutes of football, right? You probably at that time, maybe 58 minutes of football. You got to keep going. That's how you have to be in the goalie position. You got to be able to clean and say, you know what? I messed up or it didn't go my way, but I got to stay focused. And that's not what I see with Georgiev.
No, not at all. And I love the one snap and clear analogy from football because Georgiev right now is a quarterback who throws a pick and cannot dial it back in, who just unravels. And I mean, the two games over the weekend, they're so different. But they're awful. They were so different, but equally awful. Mm. Dude, you get beat 7-0 in arguably the biggest game of the year. 7-0. Phil, the score was 2-0 before the Avs registered a shot on goal.
I guess the team we're going to play.
Right! who, by the way, have dominated you.
Yes.
They have not just won. The Winnipeg Jets have dominated you. And they did it again. I mean, you're talking about outscoring the Avs in three games this season? 17-4, and the Avalanche are the team that's supposed to be the high-powered, high-flying team? Oh, my God. That is, like, it, again.
And then we try to be cute, Zach. We try. We put Onanen between the pipes because we didn't want nobody seeing Georgiev, okay, just to have to put him in.
I know.
To put him in.
I know.
And let him get torched.
I know. Like, I know. What? Now, I will say this, to be fair, and people already know this if they watched the game, and there was a lot going on Saturday, so if you missed the beginning of it, you know, I don't blame you, all right? But the first two goals are so bad defensively. Now, Georgie, you know, he's got his own issues, but this is how it looks this bad when you can get to 7-0. It's the defense is terrible. The space in front of the crease looks like I-25 at 3:30 in the morning. There's just no traffic. And you're putting Georgie in a horrible position, and then when he's asked to step up, he doesn't. And that's how you end up 4-0 after the first period and your ass gets yanked.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been talking and screaming defense this whole entire year, okay? I was, you know, when Matt was here Friday, we talked about defense a lot. Defense wins championships in basketball, okay, in hockey, and in football. And if you don't have good defensemen, it's going to be a long, long, long game for that goalie, especially,
right.
All right, if you're not a goalie like Igor, or one of the best right? Yeah. Georgiev cannot steal a series. Georgiev cannot steal a game for us. He can't even, like at some point, and I'm like Bednar. Bednar says something in the lines of, like, at some point,
yeah,
you're going to have to just make a play.
right?
You're getting paid.
Right.
You're the head goalie of the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, you're the guy.
You're just going to have to make a play.
Dude, but this is what it looks like. And I'll tell you what, man. I'll tell you what. Go back and watch the first goal. I cannot believe the Avs blew not just a three-goal lead, but a three-goal lead in the third period.
Yes.
Go watch the first goal. It is as elementary of a goal at the professional level. And I don't care if you're talking NHL or AHL. You're an AHL goal. You play for the Eagles. You're expected to block that. And the fact that it's being allowed at the pro level, it's like, oh my gosh, but this dude.
What's worse? The Avs had 24 shots. 24 shots, and in the third period, they only had two.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I didn't even know that. That does not surprise me. That does not
surprise Georgiev, yeah, that's bad. Giving up an innate, you know, a little league goal,
yes,
that's bad.
Yes,
but having a high powered offense with some of the people that you have on your team,
yeah,
you put 24 shots up, and in the third period you only put two, and are bad on special teams.
Yeah, and the penalties. Holy smokes, Josh Manson. Holy God, just awful, 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 awful. All right, we'll circle back to it and talk about some of the other dynamics that are at play here, what kind of pressure this team and this coach is under. We will circle back to that shortly. But have you guys heard about the Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips? The Fan Flyaway is back, sending one lucky listener and a guest to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. Here's what you get. Two tickets to the game, round-trip airfare for you and a friend, and two nights hotel stay, $500 just because. All right, head to denversports.com/The Fan Flyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those of you who have previously entered the Fan Flyaway contest, good news, you're already part of the club. You don't have to re-enter. You are signed up for all future Flyaway contests. Okay. The Broncos need to solve the quarterback riddle in the worst way. But if they can't, one of our buddies made a wild suggestion. How wild? I'll let you decide. Coming up next. The Broncos need to solve the quarterback riddle in the worst way. And we'll talk about one of the new mock drafts coming out here in just a couple minutes and just how realistic it is. We'll get to that shortly. But, Phil, if they can't, are you ready for, like, a wild idea?
Why not? Why not? I mean, it's Monday. We don't know what's going to happen. Throw everything out there, every scenario you got.
All right. We're doing sports talk radio.
Yeah, right? We are.
So we can kind of, you know, oftentimes they say it like we're in the toy aisle of life here, right? You got a lot of serious stuff going on in the world right now, and we're dancing around at the toy aisle talking about which quarterback the Broncos are going to draft to play a kid's game. But in that vein, let's just say they're not picking in the top five. They don't want to mortgage their future, and they also don't love Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
They're in kind of a tough spot. Our buddy Troy Rank. Our buddy Troy Rank says that if it breaks that way, Sean Payton needs to pick up the phone and call.
Oh, Lord.
That.
Tell me why I was working out. I seen something like that across the screen. And I was like, this is something Zach would say.
What I'm about to say?
Yeah.
I didn't say it. I'm relaying what Troy Rank said. Troy said, if things don't break right for the Denver Broncos, Sean Payton needs to pick up the phone and call his friend, Tom Brady.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Tom. Ever since he's done that podcast, okay,
yes.
Said he would be interested if someone called.
Yep. Is that why you saw it on TV?
I seen it on TV. You know, everybody... Once Tom went out there and posted it on Twitter, wanted that attention, okay?
Did he post it on Twitter? I didn't see that.
He posted it on Twitter. It was if I retire or if I unretire.
Oh, right.
Right now, Lord.
I didn't realize he posted it. It's like,
yes.
Someone please don't come talk to me.
Yeah, he's like, look, y'all, I'm just playing. No, and then he went on the podcast and truly said that he wouldn't mind coming down to retirement.
Well, this is what Troy said. He goes, quote, this is a Troy Rank of now the Denver Post, right? He goes, quote, the idea is preposterous. Or is it? Why would Brady, who turns 47 on August 3rd, want to return to the NFL? For the same reason rock stars date supermodels, because they can.
Oh.
I like that line.
Isn't it great that Tom can just do what he wants? If he wants to come back, he probably could.
Yeah.
And you have so many people out there that wish they could just stay for another year.
Dude.
Wow.
So this is the quote from Brady. I know a lot of people have seen it by now, but just for clarity and to be inclusive, if you haven't seen it, Brady was appearing on Shadow Lions Deep Cut podcast. I quite literally have no idea of what...
Honestly, my wife had me do some homework on it, and I guess he does a lot of really good stuff. People are like, who is he? But I guess he does a lot for the communities.
Okay.
And I think that's why, I mean, think about it. Like, obviously, he's doing something good for Tom to be able to come on
his
podcast.
Right.
He must be a big name that really does stuff for the community. I heard he's a really good dude.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And like you said, you got to be doing something right if Tom Brady's willing to go on your podcast.
Yeah, I think he's a barber, too.
Okay. Okay. I just got a haircut today by my new friends at Sport Clips.
Oh,
got that MVP. Yeah. Got that MVP. I recommend.
That fade.
All right. So this is what Tom said. I'm sorry. This is what Tom said. Quote, I don't know if they are going to let me if I become an owner of an NFL team. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So... to come in for a little bit like Jordan coming back, I don't know if they would let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it, end quote. Now, Troy rightfully points to the fact that Kyle Shanahan wanted Brady as recent as last season.
Yes.
And that someone like Joe Flacco hadn't started in the NFL since 2000 and just led the Browns to the playoffs, and it's Tom freaking Brady.
Yeah.
We're doing sports talk radio. We're having fun. It's a relevant topic. But if things don't break right for Denver, should Sean Payton actually pick up the phone? Call the GOAT.
I mean, it sounds good. It sounds like a dream. Like, why not? Why would you not? Like, come on. the thing is, Tom Brady has to also accept one to be here in Denver mm-hmm. when he looks at this roster and says, yo, it's depleted.
Yeah.
I need at least a defense. Think about it. When he was over there with the Buccaneers, they had a great defense.
They did.
Vita Vey still gives me nightmares,
God,
man.
Oh, God, dude. That defense was...
Great dude, but when he's on that field,
yeah.
scary, man. I got to play him in Pac-12, got to play him in the NFL.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, he's
UW, yeah. Yeah, he's a big dude, man. But they had a dominant defense, and they built around Tom, and they had the players, and they had playoff Lenny, and they had all these skilled players doing some dominant stuff. That's not the Denver Broncos. Now, I know that... That sounds good, too. But, Zach, these old quarterbacks, they got to be able to leave. They got to leave so these young ones can have their time. It's not going to look good for a while, Zach, when you have a bunch of young players in the NFL and a young group of quarterbacks in the NFL. It's not going to have good football.
Yeah.
But how do you get better at it? How did Tom and them get better at it? Get an opportunity to be out there multiple years, 3 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years. All of a sudden, they become the GOAT. But, like, people like Tom, people like Aaron, they're not giving these young quarterbacks that opportunity. And these teams, to me, what it looks like is you're lazy. You're lazy. You're not developing these quarterbacks. You're not developing these players. You just want something to fall in your lap. And guess what? Colleges don't do a good job of coaching. High school's not doing a good job of coaching. So what are you expecting on the NFL level if those two college and high school are not doing good? You're going to have to coach. So stop being lazy and coach.
Well. This is why I a couple times made sure to preface.
Yeah.
This is if things don't break right in the draft
mm-hmm.
and you don't end up with a young quarterback to develop. Like, what is the plan here? And if you're not in love with the Jared Stidham plan, and I don't know how you could be because he's played in 4 more games than I have, 3 more games at quarterback than you have, but... It's like, well, what is the plan? And if you walk away from the draft with nothing after you did nothing in free agency and your quarterback room is Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci, it's fantasy football. I get it. But there's a reason that Troy wrote it, because there's enough things to point to.
Yeah.
It's like, would it be worth the call, the same call that Kyle Shanahan just placed a year ago? The question is, like, if he said no to Shanahan and the Niners, why would he come to Denver? But Troy kind of addresses that, too. And I really liked it. He goes... Michael Jordan came back and played for the Washington Wizards. And it's like, he did do that. What was he thinking?
Yep.
The Wizards were terrible. Now, he was part owner,
okay.
I believe, at the time.
Yeah, he was.
I think you can do that in the NBA. You can't do it in the NHL.
He was a part owner at that time, right?
NBA, NFL. I think he was. I think Jordan was did
that part. He was trying to teach his players how to be a championship team, and that's why he came back. That's what I heard.
I think he was part owner of the Wizards before he came back. I don't think you can do that in the NFL, but he's not part owner yet, I don't believe, of the Raiders. It's a fun topic, though.
How do you think about it? Do you pick the phone up and call Tom?
You do. Just fully expect for him to damn near hang up on you. But you don't know until you know. And I'd like the idea from Troy that if things don't break right, what's the plan? And if you're going with a sort of wackiness, might as well turn the wacky degree all the way up to 11 and place a call to...
The GOAT.
To the GOAT. This is where we're at.
Like, hold up, I got to bring Gronk back. I got to bring Edelman back. Like, what?
And I'd be here for it. Could you imagine Brady 1 year in Denver? All right. You want to come hang with Phil and I? All you have to do is subscribe to our Denver Sports YouTube channel from now until May 10th. Go to YouTube, search Denver Sports, click on the subscription button. If you win, you'll get to have a lunch with us, get a tour of the station, and watch part of the show live in studio. All right, there's a new mock draft out. By some really smart guys, and I want to react to what they had the Denver Broncos doing in the first and third round. Also, the draft is 10 days away. The Broncos have to get the rebuild right. But how did they get here? I want to look back at the 3 biggest mistakes since Super Bowl 50 that led to this moment, and we'll do that coming up next.